Why are you calling me so late?
Because you asked me to. For some reason now, Skype signs me out every time. It used to leave me, like, it would automatically log in.
Why would you stay on?
Say what?
Why would you stay logged in all the time?
No, I mean, I wasn't logged in all the time, but I'm saying when I would start Skype, it would automatically log me in with my saved password and stuff.
Oh, right, yeah. No, I know what you're talking about. It's done that to me, too.
Yeah, the past two times I've used it, it's made me log back in.
My thing is, one of the reasons I kept having problems with my password, so he used to do this for me.
Yeah. So,
Punks?
Yeah, punks. So, welcome to week 796. Belated.
Hold on.
Okay. What you doing there, Slappy?
I had to get a beer.
Oh, okay.
It's a Cafe Death.
All right.
From Revolution.
IPA?
No.
Good for you.
It is a barrel-aged Imperial Stout with coffee.
Huh.
14.8.
What, alcohol percentage?
Yes.
Jesus. Planning on wiping down disinfecting surfaces with it?
Yes.
I mean, it's not really that high, but, you know, that's pretty high to drink.
That's, like, my favorite.
How big a can is it?
It's a 12-ounce can.
Oh, okay. So it's not like it's like an 18-ounce can that high. No. But that's like drinking three beers, man. Like three just normal beers.
Mm-hmm.
That's nuts.
I don't have time to mess around.
Oh, yeah. I guess if you got to, you know, do it, you got to do it, right? Mm-hmm.
Got no time to mess around.
Right. Talking what?
Nothing. What's up? Come on. Tell me something cool.
I don't know. What's going on?
What are you doing tonight?
Working.
You lettered my pitches?
No, I gotta get on that next, but I have a couple of things that were, like, drop dead deadlines.
Yeah, I've been having trouble getting. I got Alan coloring one, and Marissa's coloring the other, but Addison couldn't color the other one, so I need to find somebody to color it.
Huh.
All my pitches need colors.
Yeah.
I got a little job too to do. So
sweet.
Yeah, it's very tiny. It's a tiny job.
Well. You know.
It's like 12 pages over, spread over 6 issues.
Oh. Something to keep you going anyway. I mean.
It's something. You know. I mean, and it's a character I've always wanted to draw, so that's good.
It keeps you in practice and keeps your hand in the game, kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
It was just this week is one of those weeks, you know, stuff that should have gotten done last year, but then didn't get done by the time all the publishers shut down for 2 weeks. And so now it's like stuff was running late and it's all like down to the wire kind of thing. So yeah, this week's been kind of stressful. Plus, I mean, not to mention, you know, all that shit going on in DC and crap, you know. That was, weird thing is, you know, that was totally not unexpected. You didn't even have to dig to find out that was going to happen. I mean, they've been telegraphing it for, like, the past month.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, where, okay, you know, like, where the fuck was the FBI and shit, you know?
Oh, I mean, it, there's something going on with the police there.
Well, I mean, you know,
there's several video moments you can see where they're clearly like, come on in.
Well, and I mean, there's even at least one photo I saw of a cop taking a selfie with one of the guys in the building.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's like, really? You're not just going to arrest him? Or no, no, I guess not. You're just going to let him go? You know? It's, yeah, it's a messed up situation. And there's no, I mean, there's no real good way out of it. I hope they do impeach him, but.
Yeah. I mean, it sucks. It's kind of like one of those things like, for instance, I have rats in my car. Did I tell you about that?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's like, I should, you know, make an insurance claim. But, I mean, I might as well just take it to the shop and get it done with. I mean, I have to, like, open up the hood and unscrew everything so that I can see everything to take a picture to prove it to them. And it's like, I mean, I got to go get it fixed anyway. That's what this is like. It's like, it's going to be like, it's only a week from now anyway, so why bother? You know, that kind of thing?
Yeah.
And it's like, that's not the point. The point is, you have insurance. Use the fucking insurance. That's what the point is with this. It's like, you gotta do something so the next guy doesn't do this shit.
Right. And I mean, I don't know. It's, they're just gonna use it as an excuse, you know, no matter what. Like, but, I don't know. It's just messed up.
Yeah. Certainly wasn't, I mean, I didn't expect it to happen. It's not surprising, but I didn't think it would happen. That's a weird thing to say, but.
I'm having a little bit of an issue with my audio connection.
Yeah? You can't hear me?
It's on my end. It's a physical connection. It keeps cutting in and out.
Mm.
But, I think I got it. Talk to me. So, tell me something good.
Tell me something good. I've been practicing a lot of guitar lately.
Oh, I've been wanting to play guitar.
Well, you know, it's kind of, you know, a lot of my stuff is like waiting around now. I guess I could put out a call for commissions. I could do commissions right now, but, yeah, so I've been trying to get as much practicing done. And it's weird, I've been spending a lot of time doing what I would say are exercises and, you know, lesson-y kind of things rather than learning songs.
Right.
Like, I've learned, like, a handful of songs last year. That's, I mean, like, I can count it on both hands the amount of songs I learned how to play. Right. Most people do the opposite.
What do you mean?
I don't feel like I have anything to show for it, is what I'm saying.
Oh.
Like, I know that I'm better than I was when I was a kid, but the thing is, I couldn't prove it to you unless you want to learn, see me play a bunch of scales really fast.
There was this guy, when I was a kid, there were a couple of guys that we knew just through other people and stuff that were musicians too. And they were a little bit older than us. Not like adults yet, really.
Mm-hmm.
Or if they were adults, they were like, you know, 19 or 20 or something like that.
Yeah.
And they, but, you know, from our perspective where we were at, like, they were really amazing guitar players, you know?
Yeah.
I'm sure they weren't Yngwies or Chastains or something, you know, but,
mm-hmm.
But to us, they were like, wow, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I think back on that because I'm like, well, like, because one guy, I remember we went over there, and I think he must have been a dealer as well. I don't know if, like, at least pot, I think. Because I think somebody I was with was going there to buy from him. But he, we walked into this room in his house, and I guess it was, his bedroom or a spare bedroom or something. And it was just like, he had like double stacks all lining a wall, like just all these amps and crap, you know, and guitars and stuff everywhere. And like he picked one up and just started whittling, you know.
Whittly.
And I just remember, I mean, you know, I was all probably 13, 14 maybe.
Yeah.
And to me, I was just like, you know, I'd only been playing a couple years, playing bass at that point, a couple years.
Yeah. That, I mean, I knew a lot of kids like that when I was starting to play guitar in high school. Everybody knew how to play like Randy Rhoads songs all the way through. And I'm like, what the fuck? How, what have you been doing? it's like, I know you guys don't sit at home and practice all the time. Or maybe you do. You're definitely not doing anything in school.
Yeah. It was just, and I was watching, just to counterpoint that though, I was watching, I got on guitar pedal videos on YouTube. I went down a rabbit hole for a minute today while I was working.
Mm-hmm.
And, I was watching, there's a company called JHS Pedals.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Okay.
They have a channel that, I mean, that's like the pedal guy.
Yeah. You know, as far as like boutique
like
stuff
goes. He's very, he dumbs it down for people the way he explains stuff.
But he's like addicted to pedals.
Mm-hmm.
Which,
well,
I mean,
books them.
Yeah, I mean, but I'm guessing the addiction came before the making.
Yeah.
It probably helped push him into that line of work, I'm guessing. Cause, like, you know, when you're watching the videos on there, you can see behind him that entire room's just lined with shelves of pedals.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, not just his own, or not his own, rather, but, like...
Well, most guitar YouTubers have, like, shelves of pedals behind them.
I got a ton of pedals myself, but...
I've got two, and I haven't used either one of them. I used to have a lot more than I do now.
I like them.
But I have I'm a big fan of this Boss Katana that has, like, all of the Boss pedals in it.
Oh, well, sure, yeah. I mean, it's convenient when you got it all built in like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I like pedals, you know. I don't like them enough
always, they always bug me.
Oh.
Never a fan of them.
I'm still in search of the perfect distortion pedal.
Well, I mean, it depends on what your opinion of perfect distortion is.
And that changes. So it's always a moving target. But, I mean, I've got a couple of pedals I really, really like the sound of.
Mm-hmm.
And I bounce between those when I use them. But, yeah, I've yet to find, like, that perfect where, I don't know, it just gives me that sound, whatever that sound is. Like, I'll know it when I hear it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But, and I like modulation effects a lot, too. Pedals that do weird shit.
Used to.
Like, I really like delays and reverbs and mixes of those. Like, well, like that stuff Earthquaker makes. That's weird.
Yeah, that's one of the pedals I have.
An Earthquaker?
I have the Eruptor.
Which one is that?
I don't even know what this is. I'm guessing it's some kind of drive or something.
I think the Eruptor, isn't that a fuzz?
Maybe.
I will.
I have that, and I have a looper pedal.
Is the Eruptor the one with just one knob? Yeah.
Yes, it has one giant knob.
Yep, that's a fuzz pedal. I've always wanted to check that one out because the demos looked really good on it. And
well, I'll give you mine.
I kind of always like the idea of just one big knob, you know?
Yeah.
Turn it up. But I was watching that JHS channel today, and it was which one was I watching? I watched a couple of them today because they were doing it was like one of them was a live event from a few weeks ago where they were going over like their favorite pedals and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And another one was talking about the Amazon Basics pedals that came out.
Oh yeah, yeah, the $20 ones.
Yeah, which turns out they're just Nux pedals, rebranded Nux pedals.
Yeah,
but so we were talking. Oh, when he was talking about the best pedals, like one of the ones I watched was like the best pedals of this millennium so far, like the past 20 years. And he was talking about, yeah, you know, when I graduated high school in 2000, I'm like, dude, really? You've only been playing like, you know, half the time I have, and I'm not even nearly as good as that dude is. You know?
Well, I mean, you can't think about that or you'll kill yourself. I mean, come on. We're almost 50. You know, I'm just now learning how to play again, so I can't think about that.
That's just, I mean, you know, with a few interruptions where I didn't play for a year or so at a time, because I was bummed out or whatever, like, I mean, you know, I've pretty much been playing since I was 11.
Well,
and
that's whatever's important to you, right?
I mean, it you know, it is important to me. I do it as much as I can, but it's like, crap, I should be way better than I am.
Mm.
It's not that I'm not saying I suck or anything, because I don't. But I'm not that good, you know?
Right.
Or that kind of good, I guess, is what I mean to say. But it's just, yeah, you know. Or, like, you want an ego crusher, man, just jump on YouTube and find all these, like, 14-year-olds.
Oh, absolutely. I see a bunch of them.
Yeah, I mean, they've been playing, like, you know, maybe 2 years or something like that, and they're just blazing through some of this shit. And I'm like, wow. That's not, like, you know, humbling or anything.
Yeah. I mean, that sort of shit is one of the reasons why I stopped. I didn't like playing back in when I was younger, is that shit would get under my skin. I'd do it for a totally different reason now.
Yeah, yeah.
But, I saw that there's a Gibson video with Kirk Hammett, and he's talking about stuff. And the way he describes playing guitar is very much my attitude towards drawing comics. And I'm like, I totally get it. He's like, you have to, like, be 100% dedicated to this. Or, that's the only way you become awesome at it. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I totally understand that. That's the way I was with, you know, making comics.
Yeah, and I mean,
yeah. The only way I'd be able to make a living at it is if I dedicated everything. And I do not do that with guitar.
It's like, yeah, I mean, you have to do it and you have to keep doing it, even if you don't feel like doing it. Like, and they,
it's a different thing now.
It's just,
I want to learn to play some songs, though. I mean, we should start doing our thing again.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we got those two songs that we want to do, but we should just start learning them.
I'm trying to think. What have we recorded in the past?
It was a long time ago, and I didn't like it, so.
We did a cover of a Guided by Voices song.
Yeah.
As High Pressure Gardening.
Yeah.
And then, we played together on the Acid Wash stuff.
Yeah, I mean, we were Acid Wash.
Right. But that was you on bass instead of guitar, though.
I think they've changed. I think Acid Wash still exists, doesn't it? It's just a different lineup.
In real life? Or in the
comics? Has Pat recorded as Acid Wash without us?
I don't know. Has he? I don't think so.
No, it's not. I guess it is still just us.
I was going to reboot it for the, when I was talking about doing that soundtrack for Trash Bridge.
Oh, right, okay, yeah. That must have been what I was thinking.
Because it seemed like it would have fit right into, like, a 80s buddy cop mutant movie.
But that I feel like that would give me a goal, and that I should, you know, I should just use that as an excuse to. But, I mean, it hasn't made me learn that church song yet, so I don't know.
Oh, yeah, I mean, I've been talking about doing Unguarded Moment for, like, since 2005, since before we started the Crankcast, I think.
I need to learn it.
I remember I started to learn the guitar.
I mean, it's a two-guitar song, too, so it makes it harder. But, I mean, if we're recording it, that's not a problem.
Yeah, that's not a big deal. I vaguely remember, I think I learned the drums. It's got a weird, like, switch beat to it. I have to relearn them.
Any of the church songs are difficult drum-wise, I don't think. I'm not a drummer.
I just remember there being a timing issue where it was like, I don't know, it was something, one of those things where, like, the backbeat switches, and so the snare and the kick change, trade places in the beat or something. Or maybe there's like a hitch in it somewhere or something. I just remember something being weird when I was learning it. But I, again, that was back in mid-2000s, you know. And I had just started really playing drums right around then, so I'm sure if I tried to pick it up now, it'd be a little bit better or a little bit easier.
Maybe.
But,
drums is something that was always beyond me. So I must not have much rhythm. I don't think that's it. I think it's the I can't do more than two things at a time.
Coordination thing?
Yeah. I can sync two things, but I can't do four things.
Can you sing and play at the same time?
A little bit. I mean, I did in my band.
That was that's something I got to relearn too, because I used to be able to do it, but when I sit down and try it now, unless I know the song really well or I don't have to think about playing it,
yeah,
then it's hard for me to try to sing and play at the same time.
Yeah, I mean, it helps to pick songs that are pretty easy during the singing parts.
It's like, I wonder how. Okay, you look at somebody like Sting or Geddy Lee or something who. They tend to sing in different rhythms than what their basses are doing.
I marvel at that constantly.
Yeah, like, I mean,
it's good that you bring up Sting, because he is really good at that. It's like, forget about Police, because that shit's difficult too. It's all, I mean, I get that Andy's doing some interesting things with the drums, but I would not call what Sting does as being a rhythm section in those songs. He's really all over the place. It feels like Andy Summers is doing the rhythm stuff in that. You know what I mean?
That was the thing. It's really hard to use the Police as an example for anything, really.
I feel like in the Police, Andy does the rhythm, and then like Stewart and Sting are always doing the melodic stuff.
Because a lot of like a lot of what Andy Summers does in there is texture, you know?
Yeah, he's either doing texture, or I mean, a lot of that stuff he's doing, that reggae, he's keeping the time. He's really doing the rhythm stuff of that stuff.
Oh, well, but you can't discount the hi-hat work, because it's like, I never realized how good Stuart Copeland was until I actually paid attention to it.
That was your downfall.
Because he doesn't, like, just listening to the songs, it doesn't sound like he's necessarily doing all that much. But then, like, when you...
You got to pay attention. And then, I mean, you only have to listen to his solo stuff to understand he's not thinking on it. Now, that's like Zappa-esque, his solo stuff.
He's a... he's definitely not, like, a straightforward player kind of thing.
No.
And he does really, like, I really admire his hi-hat work. He does this really intricate stuff that's, like, kind of counter to what he's actually playing on the rest of the kit.
Yeah, and like you said, Sting definitely is, he's being more melodic, he's being jazzy. It's very difficult for me to get my head around.
Yeah, I mean, like, I even played and sang a couple of Police songs, like, in a cover band I was in for a while. Well, that wasn't exactly a cover band, but we did covers as part of our set kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I did Message in a Bottle and King of Pain, I think.
We used to play Message in a Bottle.
And Message in a Bottle is not that tough to sing and play, because it's sort of keying into the rhythm, the vocals.
Mm-hmm.
But King of Pain, I remember, was a little tough, because the bass is doing this, like, one thing, and then you're singing in a different rhythm, almost.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember it took me a while to get that down, like, and even then, I'm not sure I was that good, but good enough to get through the song, but... It was, it's just, you know, I was watching some stuff from their last live tour in 2008, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And that was kind of funny, because they pitched things down, because Sting's range isn't as high as it used to be.
Mm-hmm.
So they dropped about a half step or a full step for stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And that was kind of fun, because that actually put it into a range where I could sing it better.
Mm-hmm.
Which was kind of nice, because I could sing along. But, yeah, I appreciate, like, Sting and Geddy Lee, not just for their instrument stuff, but for the fact that they sing and play that at the same time.
I can't get it.
It's like, it took me forever to figure out, and I'm still not great on my left hand, but like, you know, playing, piano or something.
Mm-hmm.
Where you've got to do independent things, independent rhythms on either side and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You have to, essentially, you have to just not think about it. I think. Well, at least that's how I was able to do it.
I guess. I took a piano class in high school and I did not, I could not, yeah. Cause, I mean, seriously, your left hand's usually playing rhythm and your right hand's playing melody, and I cannot do that.
Yeah, I'm they not.
They have to be synced to each other, like you do with guitar, for my mind to even get it around it.
Like, yeah, like I'm okay. I'm basically okay hitting chords and doing melody with my right hand. Like, mm-hmm. chords on the left and melody on the right. But like if I start trying to get into like, you know, playing something like Boogie or something, you know, where I'm basically playing a bass line on my left hand and playing like a melody line on my right, I fumble it a lot.
I can't get my head around it.
It's just, you know, I need to practice it more for one thing, but.
I mean, that's the answer to everything, but I feel like I should be able to comprehend it in order to get it.
Yeah, for me it was always like I basically had to keep playing just with one hand, whatever that part was, over and over until I got it down into sort of like a muscle memory kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And then work on the other side by itself. And then, like I said, just not think about it and sit down and play them both together. Like,
mm-hmm.
That was like, I mean, you know, that was the same thing with drums, trying to keep independent rhythms, like on a hi-hat versus like where you're putting your kick and your snare and stuff, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, because, I mean, literally, you know, you're using four limbs at once when you're playing drums. I mean, you're working the hi-hat pedal with your left foot and kick drum with the right foot.
I said that. That's why, you know, you can't.
So it's weird to be able to, yeah, it takes some adjustment to have to, like, separate the motor control of all your limbs, essentially.
Motor control.
It's like trying to bend your pinky without bending your, you know, third finger.
Mm-hmm.
Which I can actually do on, because I play guitar. But, yeah, it's still tough, though. And I forgot what was that. Pedals, I think, was what got us down this rabbit hole. I do like pedals. Too much.
Not the only one.
Nope. That's why it's a, you know, it's a big enough industry that Amazon decided to put out cheap versions.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
And that was a point they made on that video today. They were saying, like, basically, the, I can't remember his name, the guy that runs JHS. He was basically saying, he's like, the way I look at it is, it's a good thing. It means guitar is big enough that Amazon took it and made it one of their basic lines. Like,
mm-hmm.
I mean, granted.
Well, there are several brands on there that people buy up as soon as they're on there, and it's like hard to find them.
Like what?
There's this super cheap guitar brand called Firefly.
Huh.
If one goes up, they're like sold out the next day because they're like $150, and they're not the greatest, but they're pretty good for the money. And so people just keep buying them up.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
I wish things would have.
They're just knockoffs. They're knockoffs of other kind of guitars. So.
Yeah. I wish things would have been that affordable when I was a kid, man.
Dude.
My first pedal. Actually, my first pedal was an overdrive pedal that my parents got me, but I couldn't figure out what I wanted it for back then, for bass.
Yeah.
I didn't get into the dirty bass at that point, you know?
Yeah.
Which is funny, because now that's just the way I like it.
About now, dirty bass.
So they had gotten it for me for birthday or Christmas or something, and I couldn't figure out what to do with it, so I asked them if we could, you know, take it back and get a different pedal for it, for something.
Mm-hmm.
So my first actual pedal that I used was a bass wah. That was bought a Dunlop bass wah.
Man, you would have been so annoying when I was a kid.
But I think that pedal was all of 50 or 60 bucks or something. But I mean, that was 50 or 60 bucks in 80s dollars.
Oh, wah?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
think the first wall I got was like $100 or something like that.
I mean, no, it would have been about 50 years. Huh?
It was a crybaby too.
Yeah, that's what I had.
Huh.
When did you get it?
I don't know. I was a teenager.
Because this would have been about, I don't know, 87, 88?
That one sounds about the right time. Maybe I got the wrong thing. Maybe I'm forgetting how much it actually costs.
Or maybe the music store. I don't know. Maybe the music store I bought it from, maybe it was like a B-Stock or something. I don't know. I just remember it was roughly the same price as the distortion pedal. And
I couldn't do... I was like, what's overdrive? I don't care what overdrive is. I want a distortion pedal.
I'm still...
Now I'm like overdrive all the way, baby.
I'm still hazy on the... I mean, I know there's a gain difference, but like...
Well, here's the thing. A lot of what people recognize as distortion, like in their songs and stuff, is really just the gain on an amp plus an overdrive pedal.
Right. And I mean, I know now that, you know, well, overdrive is what it says it is. It's meant to, like, overdrive your channel into a tube amp or whatever.
And a distortion pedal is what you said. It's like super gain. So a lot of that stuff is like really... fizzy. I used to have a Rat, and they're really fizzy. But I never understood why I wasn't able to get my Metallica sound out of my Rat distortion and my PV amp.
I've got a Rat clone.
I had the original Rat, the RC Proco Rat.
Right on. That was a classic staple of a lot of 80s music.
That was.
In fact, I think
Lord help me, if I had known that Metal Zones existed, I probably would have had one of those.
I think I still got a Metal Zone around here. Still, that
works. Really?
Yeah.
That's so funny. Everybody talks about that like it's the pedal that shall not be named.
You know, honestly, you can get some really good sounds, but you have to like keep the gain all the way down. It's when you start turning the gain up on the on that pedal that it starts getting really shitty.
Yeah.
If you keep the gain down, you can actually get some classic rock sounds and turn it up just a little bit, you can get kind of a Metallica sound. Like an 80s.
Anybody that listens to us cares about this crap. They're like, oh man, they went from not talking about the thing that I like to talking about stuff that I have no care about.
I don't know. I haven't read any comics lately, so I don't have a lot of comic talk.
Yeah.
Although, I do have some more Eisner in the queue and stuff like that, but I just haven't gotten to it yet. We could talk comics work.
Well, I think I already did.
Well, yeah, a little bit. What did you say that guitar brand was?
Firefly. I don't know if they make basses.
I just want to see what you're talking about. You said they're on Amazon?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, I see. Okay, yeah, like Les Pauls and stuff.
Yeah. Most of the videos I saw was like for their 335 clone, which I still want a 335, but I can't have another guitar. I want a 335 and I want a Floyd Rose guitar. But I have to be able to use that thing, and I'm nowhere near a player.
Right. See, that's what I was talking about when I got into affordable, is that, you know, harmonies and Sinsonics and crap like that were the affordable guitars when we were kids.
Yeah.
And they, my Harmony, I've got a couple of Harmonies, and they're actually all right instruments, but it was hit or miss. Like...
I mean, you're talking about the budget kind too, because Harmony makes a higher grade guitar too.
Harmony's got a weird history because different companies have owned the Harmony name and put stuff out, and then they've been made in different places and stuff. But yeah, I mean, you know, now all these weird no-name guitars like the Fireflies and the whatever, you know, like or Harley Benton stuff like that, you know.
Yeah. Like, that's a big one too. That's like huge.
They're all.
It's mostly Europe though.
Well, for the price point, they're all perfectly acceptable guitars.
Yeah,
or even Fender's Squire line. or whatever.
It's like a European. I mean, a lot of people compare it to Epiphone.
Yeah, it was like, well, like a 12 string I bought, you know, for the price range it was in, that is a pretty damn good guitar for the money.
Yeah.
It's not going to have any resale value or anything, you know?
Right.
But it, you know, like, pretty much, I mean, junky budget guitars were junky budget guitars when we were kids, kind of.
Yeah, they were junky.
So,
although, you know, my main Japan Squire Tele, I mean, I kept that for years. And, you know, when I started looking them up again, started reading things about how good they were, and then, like, people buy them now and stuff, and I ended up buying another one. I ended up buying it for about as much as I would, like, an Epiphone.
Right.
Well, and that's, like, 1980s Made in Japan Squire Telecaster.
Yeah, I mean, the Made in Japan stuff had a certain level of fitness to it, you know?
Yeah.
I think my first bass, it was either a China or a Korean, I think. My first harmony.
Most of the stuff now is made in China or, like, Indonesia.
Yeah, but things were, I don't know. I mean, it's always in runs. Things are spotty. Because, like, for a while there with Squire stuff, I didn't pick up a bad Squire, you know?
You check out some reviews on YouTube. Squire makes, I mean, especially the stuff they make now, a lot of their stuff is, like, recreations of, like, 50s and 60s models, and they make them just like the old stuff. So in a lot of ways, they're just as good, if not, you know, better than some of the higher price models.
Right. And I mean, but in Squire stuff, I mean, it was made, you know, it was made in Korea, it was made in Indonesia, or I think it's made in Indonesia now. Last I checked, anyway. But you know, there were Chinese Squires, Japanese Squires, Korean Squires. I don't know if there were any Mexican Squires.
I don't know.
I think they reserved Mexican for the lower budget Fender line stuff.
I wouldn't even call those lower budget.
No, I mean, I've got a Mexican Strat, and it's great.
The player series is fucking great.
Yeah, I mean, it's just it's one of those things where...
What would you call that?
What?
A Fender or a Gibson or a whatever, like the name brand. What would you call that level?
A
professional guitar?
I don't know. I mean, I guess. They're not student guitars, you know.
They're not student guitars, but what would you call them? You can't call them expensive either. I mean, they're expensive to us, but for a lot of people, that's like the base model.
I guess they're standard line is what you'd call them. I mean...
In that case, I don't have a standard instrument in my house, and I have, like, 7 guitars.
Yeah, I don't either, I don't think. Yeah. No, my SG is, I guess, actually.
Because I can't, I don't, for one thing, I don't feel like I can justify paying that kind of money unless I'm good enough at it.
Oh, yeah, dude, I looked up, I can't remember the name of it now, but I looked up one of the videos I was watching. I really liked the way the guitar looked that the guy was playing.
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh, that's really cool. I wonder how much that costs. I look it up, and it's like a $6,000 guitar.
Yeah.
I'm like, what the, what? Like.
Your basic Fender Gibson's like $1,500.
Yeah. I mean, I've always wanted a Rickenbacker bass, but those things are like $2,200 now.
Yeah. That's like a $2,500 guitar.
And I'm like, I've wanted one since I was a kid. I cannot justify spending that much money on one instrument.
That's more than you pay for cars.
Sometimes. Well, yeah. I mean, it has been. I bought cars cheaper than that for sure. But
yeah, I mean, for me, it's like, I mean, I understand, but I don't have a job now. I can't really justify doing that. I mean, I really like it, but it's just a hobby for me.
I guess if I got rid of all my other basses and then just bought a Rickenbacker.
Yeah, I can see that.
You know, maybe.
I mean, and you do have a lot of instruments you probably don't play.
Right, but it's like they're tools, man. You know, I don't necessarily need them every day.
I'm saying probably guitars that you haven't seen out of the case in over a decade?
Oh, no, I don't have anything like that. No.
Really?
Yeah.
You have 30 guitars, you said.
Most of them aren't in cases, so I see them all the time.
Oh, Jesus.
I may not have picked them up in a year or two.
You have a guitar pile in your corner.
No, I've got those, you know, those little side stand racks things. Those ones that hold like 7 guitars or whatever.
Yeah, I have one of those too. That's how I know that I can't get any more. If it's full, then I can't get any more.
Well, sure you can. You just buy another one.
No, I'm not going to get another one. That's my guide.
And then you have to fill that one up, so you'll have 14 guitars.
I have Josh Emmons' guitars over here, and they're just sitting on my couch because I can't fit them in the rack.
My friend Brian actually got a bunch of those wall hooks, so he's got them hanging up on a wall.
I'm afraid to do that. Because it's like, so at some point we're going to move out of here.
Right.
I don't want to hang them up on my wall.
Just fill the holes when you take them out.
Yeah, I guess so.
You got to make sure you mount them in studs, though.
Well, that's the other thing. It's like, I can't use, I don't have a stud finder. And when I do use one, it only just goes off when I'm in the room. So.
Oh, that's a terrible, terrible joke.
Yeah.
That's a terrible joke I've made.
Yeah. Dad jokes.
Where I was using one to find the stud, and I turned it around on me and said, oh, found one.
Crank jokes.
Unfortunately, I was by myself in the room when I did that, so it didn't, you know.
Why is poker illegal in Africa?
I don't know.
Because there's too many cheetahs. Yeah.
Oh, God. No.
Yeah. Gotcha.
Stop. But yeah, anyway, I don't know. Like, there's just a plethora of options for younger people now. Like, or people on budgets, you know?
Yeah.
Which is great. I mean, I don't see that. I don't see a downside to that. Like,
downside.
If you can get a pretty nice guitar for $100 or a couple hundred dollars, like, you know, sure, do it. You know? I mean, I've made plenty of music on really cheap guitars and stuff. Like, I've never played. I'm trying to think. I've never played a $5,000 guitar in my life.
Mm-hmm.
I've picked up, you know, like a $1,500 guitar in a store and plunked around on it a little bit, but you know, that's about as close as I've gotten to one. Like.
Yeah, I think I plucked around on a Paul Reed Smith once at a store.
Yeah.
Didn't have that much of it.
Yeah, like I played a Rickenbacker in a store, but obviously I didn't buy it. You know? I would like to have one of these days, though.
I'll buy you one.
Aw, thanks.
Yeah, I'm not going to buy you shit.
I know. It's Dang. A thought. It's a thought that counts, though.
If I were rich, I would.
Uh-huh. Here's a really pretty purple guitar. I couldn't find any of those Firefly guitars.
Yeah.
I guess they're sold out or something. They're not on here, either way. But here's something called a Grote.
Grote?
Grote. Could be Grote, I guess.
Can I get a Grote guitar?
But it's a jazz-style guitar.
Jazz-style.
And it's a really pretty flame maple purple.
Flame maple purple jet style.
Exactly. Look, here, I'll show it to you.
Time to get the Grote.
It's
time to get Grotey.
Let's get Grotey. It really is a pretty finish, though.
I want it. Oh, there it is. Wait, what the fuck? Come on, man.
What?
I don't want that. You shared it with me, and now the thing's filling up my screen. Where the... I get you. Oh, it is nice.
Yeah, isn't that pretty?
That's pretty.
And it's sort of like an ES-335.
Yeah, it looks more like the Ibanez Art Cores, which are
also affordable.
They are 335 ripoffs.
Yeah.
Grote.
Grotey.
Time to get Grote.
But, you know, yeah, I'm seeing like other ones like...
I want it for that sweet zebra pick. That sweet zebra pick in my life.
Well, you know, everybody needs a little sweet zebra pick. But I mean, look at this. For $200, you know, you get a bag, a guitar, a couple of picks, and a cord.
You get a bag.
Well, that's a pretty good deal, I think.
get that grope bag.
I don't know how well this plays. I mean, the reviews are pretty good, actually.
One of the reviews.
Lots of 5-star reviews. Excellent instrument. Great craftsmanship.
73% 5-star reviews. Oh, my God. Perfect and awesome.
Great sound. Great buy.
Serious guitar for little dollar signs.
I really do like that color, though.
Shocked, surprised, and amazed.
Purple.
The quality of the body is excellent.
That's usually what people say about me.
No, probably not.
How about shock, surprise, and amazing?
That I believe, yeah.
Yeah, that's funny.
Like, okay, so in the customers also view thing down there, there's something called a best choice products semi-hollow body, which looks dead on in the ES-335.
Best choice products? What is best choice products? It does look like that. Shit, Jesus.
But it's $165. I mean, what the hell, you know? Like, go ahead.
Does it say that on the headstock? Best choice product? Because I kind of want that just for the headstock.
I think it might.
What kind of guitar is that? Oh, it's a best choice product.
Which, you know, that says it all, really, doesn't it?
It really does say it all.
Because, I mean, you know, what else would it be? It's a best choice product. I think it actually, yes, it does say that on the headstock.
It does say that. It's a best choice product.
Mm-hmm. Hey, and you get a tuner and a second set of strings with that one.
Well, you're going to need it.
It's the top and the back material are linden plywood.
What?
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's made out of plywood?
But apparently the body's basswood? Basswood. Really? Basswood. Basswood. I don't know. Is it basswood or basswood?
Basswood.
Okay. And it's a maple neck with a rosewood fretboard. I mean, you know what? Dan Electro sound fine, and they were Formica. So.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I'm just saying, you know, for the money, it's like, dude.
Yeah, best choice product.
Give me a best choice product, you know?
Oh, I need the best choice product.
And the reviews on this are also pretty damn good.
Are they?
Yeah, not as many 5-stars right off the bat there, but...
You know. Over 6 million orders shipped.
Yeah. Best choice product. Oh, yeah.
64% 5-star rating.
That's not bad.
I've been looking for a guitar like this for 8 years. Jesus Christ! What the fuck? You couldn't find a 335? Yes. Good guitar.
Somebody in the questions is talking about the Firefly guitars, but damn it, they don't have them on here.
I've always had a passion for guitar. I was inspired by the guitar in Back to the Future Part 1 when Michael J. Fox played Johnny B. Goode at the dance. My mom got me a Yamaha Pacifica. I thought it was the same one. I got a job recently and bought this guitar. It's amazing. It sounds good, plays good, and definitely feels good.
Oh, yeah. I feel so good.
Would pay higher if I could.
Oh, buddy got his first job, and he spent all his money on... Best choice product. Well, that's cool.
Hey, man.
That's cool, you know?
You know?
I got a Les Paul with an amplifier in it.
It's got an amplifier built in it?
When I was a kid.
Oh, yeah, sure. Like from the Sears?
Yeah, from Sears.
Yeah, those were quartz probably, right?
Probably. I don't think it said it on the headstock. I think it may have just had a blank headstock.
I remember you used to be able to get those quart guitars from Sears that had the built-in effects. They had little push buttons on the body for like distortion and chorus and stuff.
I never saw those. Uh-oh. I only got that one.
I mean, as I recall, the effects sounded terrible. But still, I would love to have one now. I love that idea of having just built-in effects in line on the guitar.
Yeah, well, it's funny because they make that shit now, and it's like a novel thing.
There are these Russian guitars I was looking at that have built-in effects to them.
They spy on you.
And they also spy on you. And also, you know, try to poison you at certain points. But yeah, best choice product.
Best choice product.
So it's either that or a Grody.
A Grody.
About this item, 2020 new product from Grody.
Groat. It's time for the groat.
So they tout this as a feature. Laser security trademark and metal truss rod cover.
What? Laser security?
I don't know. It keeps you secure.
What the fuck does that mean?
Keeps you secure from lasers when you play it.
No.
That must be what it is.
Laser security? Truss rod cover?
Laser security trademark and metal truss rod cover is what it says.
So those are two separate things.
It's an in symbol. That means they're joined somehow, right?
I don't understand.
I don't really get it either, but what the hell? I like this Grody, though, man.
You're just saying that like that. Smart X choices. I found an even better guitar. Smart X choices.
I've never made Smart X choices myself.
Oh, it doesn't even have a logo on the headstock.
Oh, well, that's no good.
Smart X choices.
Yeah, I've never made Smart X choices myself.
Lix Pro? Yeah, Lix Pro.
Oh, right. Now, see, like, it's weird because, these lower-end, whatever these are, cheap guitars, Chinese guitars, they cost as much as buying a build-your-own-kit guitar now. It used to be the build-your-own-kit thing was the cheapest thing you could get, you know? But now, yeah, these things are just as just as cheap as that. Like, you can buy a guitar already put together.
Yeah.
Here's a Monoprice Indio Retro Classic Electric Guitar. It's a Telecaster for $99.
Yeah, people buy the Indios and then they like mod them and stuff.
Yeah, and that's another thing they're great for. I mean, when you buy something that cheap, it's like, well, you can do whatever the hell you want to it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you have to like doing that.
Well, sure. Yeah. Wow. This one's got an elaborate neck. It's got one of those like viney inlay looking things.
Trance.
It's a semi-hollow body. Wow, how can this be this cheap? It's $280. But it's got a Bigsby tremolo system. It's a one of those F-cut or S-cut Telecasters type shapes. So semi-hollow. Toaster pickups, a really elaborate viney inlaid neck. And like I said, it's only $280. And supposedly it's solid mahogany and quilted top veneer.
Mahogany.
So, yeah, the back and sides and top are, all mahogany. And the neck's Canadian hard maple.
Mahogany.
I mean, that's, shit, dude. I'm just amazed by this stuff,
Amazed by mahogany.
I just keep thinking back to, having to go up to the local music store, Buddy Rogers. And, I had saved up my money, from grass cutting and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And the only thing I could afford was a Harmony bass. And I had just enough money to pay for that after I told him that was all I had. And he knocked like $5 off or something. And I couldn't afford to buy a strap. So I rode home holding this bass. I was on my bike. So I rode home having to hold the bass in one hand and steer my bike with the other. But, and I mean, that was, well, it was like $80 or something like that, I think, at the time. But that, again, that was like 1987-ish, I think.
Mm.
So, that was $80 dollars.
$80.
Pretty much, yeah. Why does this have an extra knob up there? What does that extra knob do?
Extra knob.
Look at this. Here, I'm going to send you this. I don't understand this thing. It's weird looking.
People can't see this.
I know, but you can. And I'm talking to you.
Extra knob.
There's like
that's fancy. There's what's that knob? What is that knob for?
And why is it there? I don't like. Why did they put it there?
Why doesn't it? Does it not say what it is?
And why is that other knob so far back? Like,
what is that for?
I don't know.
Explain to me what it's for.
It's really weird, though, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Pretty guitar, though.
Maybe it's the volume for each pickup. They're just in weird spots.
That's what I was thinking. Volume, tone, maybe?
That's so weird.
Or I guess it could be volume, tone. But yeah, it is weird that they're spread out like that.
Or tone. Well, it would be volume, tone, wouldn't it?
Well, some things are set up VTT and some of them are VVT, so.
I don't know.
I actually had a bass that had just one master volume and then two tone knobs. Along with a selector switch. Like,
that is a fancy looking guitar.
Yeah, it is, isn't it?
That's so fancy.
Zooey!
I think you should buy it. Jones pickups.
I do like toaster pickups like that. Or whatever you want to call them. Yeah. But I'm leaning more towards the Grody. Just because of that flame purple. Yeah. Anyway. So, did you watch that movie I sent you?
Not yet.
Okay. I'm just puzzled by it. I want to see what your reaction is to the end, because I want to see if you think it ended the way I think it ended. But, you know. I watched a 90s movie that I never saw the other day, even though it was, I knew it from the soundtrack. But SFW?
Oh, right, yeah. I never watched them.
With Stephen Dorff and Reese Witherspoon, and they also had Jake Busey in it. But, yeah, I'd never seen that when it was new-ish or current, whatever you want to call it.
I remember the trailers for it.
I mostly just remember the soundtrack, but it was pretty good. It was kind of interesting. It was sort of... these people are held hostage for a month in a quickie mart.
Mm-hmm.
And the people holding them hostage are videotaping them. And if the radio or like TV stations don't play the videotapes that they send them, they kill people or kill off the hostages.
Mm-hmm.
So they're basically, they become these weird sort of celebrities, and then they finally get released. Well, not released. They kill the terrorists or whatever. So when they get out, they basically have to deal with this weird fame kind of thing, because they didn't know the tapes were being broadcast.
Right.
So it was like, you know, I mean, it's a pretty interesting setup. Like, I thought it was alright. But this other movie, it's called Bernie Berman's Wild Boar. And it's, I watched it because it had Augie Duke in it, and I've seen her in a few other movies I liked her in.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting. The basic setup is these treasure hunters stumble into an area where nuclear testing was done with pigs, and the pigs have mutated and become people pigs, and now they hunt people for food.
All right.
And it just gets weird from there. Like, and one other movie I did want to mention too is that I watched a movie called New Comic Day.
Really?
2016 is when it's from.
Oh, boy.
And it's a low-budget movie set in a comic shop.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen a few of these now.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them are not very good.
Yeah, I bet they think they're real clever.
This one actually was not bad,
mm-hmm.
Which is why I wanted to bring it up. Because they, rather than taking just sort of a, I don't know, like a Kevin Smith-esque take on it or something, where it's just like real life snappy dialogue kind of thing or whatever, or what passes for snappy dialogue.
Uh-huh.
This actually got weird, and there's like crazy kooky shit happening, people with powers, and it's very comic booky actually. I did think it was weird. The one thing I thought was weird about it was they present it like it's the main narrator is somebody that doesn't read comics, but he just needed a job, so he got a job in a comic shop.
Uh-huh.
And he's as he's narrating parts of it, he's talking to the audience, like me, you're probably a non-reader too. And I'm like, who do you think your audience for this movie is? Like, who is most likely to probably check this movie out? Is it going to be just people who don't know anything about comics at all? Like,
yeah.
And it is sort of an ode to just comic nerdy culture. There's all sorts of, like, in things, you know, that, like, if you know a bit about comics, you'll get it. But I don't know, like, I can't imagine they actually thought non-comic people would be their main audience for this. Uh-huh. So.
I'm less and less interested in stuff like that.
You know, I watch them every now and then. I'm not super, like, I don't dive into everyone I see, but I decided to watch this one and it turned out to be all right. Yeah. But anyway. Say, do we have any email there, Mike?
We don't. I looked.
We don't have any best choice email?
No, we don't have any Groat email.
Grody. Well, okay then.
If you have any suggestions for songs for us to learn.
Oh, that's opening up a can of worms. Did you ever do that Dio solo for...
No, because, you know, I started learning that song and I started learning that in the spring?
Yeah.
The song, and I was like, this is beyond my capabilities. And now I feel like I can, so I might go back and do it, but we'll see.
Right on.
I am not pushing myself very hard.
Oh, I forgot to mention, yeah, the whole New Year's Eve and everything has happened in between this show and the last show.
Well, I mean, it's not like we did anything.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I went out and partied at a Mass Gathering, maskless.
Wow.
I'm kidding, I didn't do that.
Good job, Dongus.
Yeah, I'm personally responsible for a large spread of, you know, COVID-19.
Wow.
Yeah. I didn't actually.
Glad I haven't seen you in a while.
I didn't actually do that.
You already said it, so you did.
I will say I do have a COVID haircut.
Yeah, so does Julie, and it's driving her crazy.
Yeah. Mine, there's nothing I can do. I can either shave it all off or just keep letting it grow out.
That's what I do.
That's what I thought I'd do, but I'm getting older now, and I'm not sure I can grow it back if I shave it off.
Well, you know, I got over that. I don't care.
Yeah, but I you know.
Who are you?
Oh, also, in case you didn't know, there's a new Blu-ray release of Popeye.
I did not know.
And it's got something, it's been remastered or something, I think. And it's cheap, it's under $10, I think.
Oh. That is a much better movie than people give it credit to.
Oh, that's a great movie. I mean, I don't know. I'm colored by the fact that I saw it when I was a kid, and it was Robin Williams playing Popeye, so how could I not like it?
Yeah, same here, but it's a much better movie than people give it credit.
It's definitely, I mean, shit, the whole set design and everything. I mean, they built that whole weird-ass village, you know?
Yep. It feels like one of those old cartoons.
It's a strange, strange movie.
Strange.
But I like it.
Boy, George.
Holy mackerel.
What?
Marvel went nuts on their Eternals number one cover count. For
are you looking at the releases?
Yeah.
Ugh.
Ugh, what?
I'm done.
You sound like a teenager. Ugh.
Done.
I'm so done with you.
I'm done, dude.
Dude, they literally go from A to Z and then go from ZA to ZL.
Well, that's done.
That is a lot of covers for one issue.
I'm not doing one. They didn't ask me.
I'm surprised you're not. I mean, shit, dude.
Yeah, that's pretty sad.
That is sad, Mike. The only thing I found that I've worked on that was in stores this past week was... The Vane number 4, which is a...
The Vane.
It's a vampire tale.
The main Vane.
I think they're in the 70s in this one. It starts out during World War II. Churchill? No. Hoover? I think.
Boo! Boo on vampires! Boo!
Hoover recruits them to work for the Allies in the war. And then as the book goes on, it advances in time, you know. And I think this one's in the 70s. So in case you were wondering, I don't, you know, whatever.
Give me.
But yeah, that's the only thing I saw that I worked on. There was something else I was going to ask you about. I had it in mind for when I thought we were going to be recording during the week, but then I got behind and stuff. So I can't remember. Oh well. Just remember. Best choice product.
We are a best choice product.
I think we are. Alright then, I guess that's it for this week.
Mm-hmm.
Alright. You can reach us at crankcast.com, crankcast@gmail.com. Mike's website is ihatemike.com.
Yes.
You can still read BattlePug online at battlepug.com.
You can.
You can pick up BattlePug in print at comic shops.
You better.
In fact, I think you can still get it on Amazon.
You better do it now.
I don't know. I haven't actually looked it up on Amazon in a long time.
Turn off this podcast and go buy it.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So, yeah, you can get the Compugdium still on Amazon.
If you don't already have it, you hate us.
And there's apparently a BattlePug White Infant Snap Suit on Amazon.
No! Don't! That's not good! That's not legal!
It's not quite the logo, but it's got the dogs, the talking dogs.
What?
Yeah. At least it looks like them. No, actually, one of them's not. One of them looks like a small version of the Battle Pug, and the other one looks like I don't remember their names. There, I just sent it to you. It's a Battle Pug onesie, I guess, for infants.
What's that from?
Oh, there's also a Battle Pug keychain on there. Something
well, might be from that one place that likes it. No, I don't think this is us.
It's not the BattlePug logo. That's the thing.
What is this from? Main merch.
So, who? Yeah, anyway.
Man, I'm tired of shutting these places down.
There's also something by...
Someone's selling shit that I signed on Amazon?
Okay, here's the thing I don't get. There's a thing called Storybook Battle Pug, 2019 Kindle Edition, by somebody named Brad Pitts, with two T's and a Z.
What?
Yeah.
What? Where?
Apparently there's, like, a bunch of stuff in here. There's like Battlestar Galactica stuff. I looked up that author, other stuff by that author. And it's looks like there's a bunch of just dodgy shit from this seller person, whoever. But they're using the, for the picture image, they're using a next issue blurb from, I don't know which issue it was.
Mm-hmm.
And it was apparently published December 27th, 2020.
No, that's not coming up for me.
Well, I can send that to you as well. Because, you know, why not? And now we're playing BattlePug Knockoff Whack-A-Mole.
What the fuck is this?
Yeah, I don't know, but I think that's dodgy stuff. It's, you know.
No shit.
But, huh. Here's, Mike Norton's The Curse. Anyway, so. I guess that's it for this week. We, hope you're all doing well out there. And, you know.
We'll it's not stealing from me, hopefully.
Not stealing from Mike. And, yeah, we'll talk soon. Goodbye.